okay. I'm a happy guy. Just want y'all to know that before I start getting into it. Because I yell a lot. And sometimes my get a little intense. I don't need this. Some of y'all need to do that to your phones. Praise God. That's Chase. He's one of my leaders back at UAB. How many seniors we got here? Seniors? Anybody gets a senior? Y'all come on over to UAB. We got something for y'all over there. And y'all grew up in the right spot, so I know you got the right spiritual heritage. So y'all won't be too freaked out when y'all get there. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not white. I am mixed. I grew up in a black church where they say stuff back to you. So if y'all don't say something, I'm going to turn my back to you and say, that's a good word, Jared, and then turn back around. Cool? All right, I'm going to pray because I love Jesus. And I'm going to tell you this first because I'm going to ask you to pray too. It takes hunger over there, and it takes hunger in my heart for us to get where we want to go. It's not enough for you to enjoy the flame of your leaders, the flame of another person's consecration. It's not enough. It can invite you, but it's not enough for your heart. And for you to get where you actually long to go in God, I assume you want to go somewhere deep in the world, it takes hunger in your heart right now. So I'm about to pray, but before I pray, there's something about when your ears hear your words from your lips, something clicks inside of you. I'm a firm believer. Now I yell, I'm not telling you gotta yell, unless you just want to, praise God. But I want you to begin to talk to God for the next 30 seconds to a minute, and you begin to say, and it can be so simple, it don't have to be elaborate, eloquent, just God, I want you. Talk to me. Give me God. Just whatever vein right there, just talk to him. Responds to your voice as much as he responds to mine. And you need to know, I need you to get a vision for your life that God actually wants to hear you talk to him. So for the next 30 seconds to a minute, I'm not going to pray out loud yet. I want you to close your eyes. Don't worry about who's sitting next to you. And you just begin to engage with the Lord right now, and very simply, in your own words, God, awaken hunger in me. God, I want to know you. God, awaken me. So go ahead, right now. Father, teach us how to yearn. Teach us how to long for you. I ask in this moment, Father, you remove any hindrance. Whatever blocking my heart and these folks in this room's heart to getting to the depths of God, I'm asking, eradicate it. Tear it down. Remove it. The wrecking ball of your love and jealousy will come in this place tonight and tear down every wall we've erected. Oh, that the yearn of our heart would be, God, oh you. I want to lay hold of the knowledge of God. Oh God, that you have set for us a vision for our life that goes far beyond, God, being popular, far beyond being liked by men. Oh, that heaven would know our name in the morning. God, I look out and I see, God, prospects for the army of the dawn. that beautiful army that will arise seemingly out of nowhere, filled with the zeal of the Lord, God. It's not an age, God. You're looking for those that are looking. God, I ask right now, God, in this place, those that said, I don't want to be here, I'm asking you radically, supernaturally invade their hearts and minds. God, I'm asking for those that are saying, you know what, it's not even for me. I tried it. I can't stay clean. I can't stay on this straight and narrow. God, I'm asking, come with the power of heaven upon their hearts. You're not a respecter of person. You did it to me. I ask God, do it to these. God, I love these young ones. I love these young ones. Thank you, God. You're raising them up, God, in the house of the Lord. Thank you, whether they know it or not, God. They have been stained with blood. There is a bullseye upon their back, God. And you are running after them. I'm asking. We will feel your jealousy bearing in upon us tonight. That we begin to sense and be aware of how much you are longing for intimacy with us. Oh, I love you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so good. Meet with us, God. You're already here. It's not like you're here. I just say, Lord, I give your presence worth. Give your voice worth tonight. We value you. In the areas of our heart that we don't, God, deal with it. Because I want to value you. Awaken us to the worthy quest and journey to go into the depths of the glory of God. In Jesus' name, all who agree say yes. Yes. I'm looking for my wife because she's supposed to be here. Not here. She's on the way. I have two sons. I am 30 for those that thought I was 20. I have David Emmanuel and Zion Samuel. My two boys. He's 2 years old and 3 months. So I'm a dad at heart. I was a dad at heart when I was 20. I had no kids and no family. I was fathered well by my dad and other spiritual fathers of mine. So when I look at you guys, something overflows in me that says, God, they got it now. If you get it now, you don't have to spend the years of trying to find yourself in the chaotic, demonically fueled world. Find yourself here. Run after the glory of God and you'll find yourself. Colossians 3:3. For your life is hidden with Christ in God. Meaning you don't know who you are yet. Quit looking at Instagram and social media and these fools on TV that who you are. They can't do that. Only the Lord and only spiritual fathers and mothers can tell you who you are. Smile. Say, Jared, we love you. Say it. All right, now remember that. Cool. C.S. Lewis, I wrote down this quote. I love this quote. C.S. Lewis said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Come on. I am black and I am Hispanic. I can't help myself. All right? So if I shout, I'm not mad. If my face gets like this, it's because I'm jealous for you. I'm so jealous for what God has for you. You got to know that, man. My heart. That at this age, I'm saying, I got saved when I was 17 years old. I grew up in church. My mom and dad, between them had like 80 plus years in the faith. They are real OGs. I'm for real, man. I would wake up at like 2 or 3 in the morning with my mom standing over me, just praying over me. So I had no choice but to get saved. All right? And my dad, I would hear my dad down the hall in his office, man. I got my dad's singing skills. We can't sing. But he would be in his office weeping, crying, singing to the top of his lungs. I just want you, God. Who knows, for the older folks, who knows who Terry McAlmon is? Anybody? Come on, rock with me, baby, rock with me. That's what I kind of grew up in my house was that. Like, my house was filled with that. And I got marked at a young age with the fact that my parents didn't just like doing the pew thing at church. They loved it. But then they took it home and says, boy, you're going to know this God that we know. For real, I couldn't watch TV from Monday through Thursday. I had to do book reports on the books of the Bible during the summer. Like, that's how I was raised. I was raised every Friday night. It was Friday night at the Fonseca house. We would have 30 single folks, and our house wasn't big. And I would wake up Saturday morning, and they were all still there. Somebody's in the corner still shaking because God messed with them. Like, that was my home. I grew up in that. I remember encounters with the Lord. I remember dreams with the Lord. I remember seeing angels at a young age. I remember it was about 3 or 4 rows back from our church, and above the worship team, I opened my eyes and there was a silhouette over the, I was like, what is that? And I closed my eyes and looked again just to see if it was real. And it was an angel there. It freaked me out. I've seen demons get cast out of folks in my house. I've seen people get set free and saved. My blood brother was raised from the dead by my dad. You kind of get an idea of how I grew up. And I didn't know Jesus. Yeah, I'm in your face now. You can be in this, man. I'm telling you, I could put up different songs on that screen and it already awakens something inside of you and it's not Jesus music. I can do that. Why? Because music is easily seeps into us without us even realizing it, and we find ourselves tapping your foot, whether it's worship, not worship, whatever it is. So singing songs with lifted hands, as awesome as it is, it's not enough. You can't say, I love you, I love you, I love you enough for your heart to get plumb lined with deep roots. You gotta get something inside of you of hunger. I don't mean natural zeal. See, I played ball. I played baseball through college. The Lord told me I can't continue after college, so I gave up an opportunity. And He said, I have something for you to do. So it wasn't even about my dreams. It wasn't about what I wanted to do for the glory of God. It was about God seeing my life in eternity past. He says, I got a dream in my heart, and I'm going to wrap some flesh around it and give it the name Jared and send him to the earth. So he'll be on the earth in 2017 because there's stuff I have for him to deal with. And that's true for every last one of you. You don't need a prophetic word to call you by name. God himself has called you by name. And all of these songs that we sing, it's evidence of God's invitation to you to come deeper. Every prophetic word that you get, it's an invitation to dialogue with the Father. God is all powerful, yeah? All knowing. Does He need anything? No. So why on earth would He create a system to get things done in the earth called prayer? Why would He do that? You got an idea? No? You can say no. It's okay. Don't feel bad. No? Anybody got an idea? No. Cool. Why, God, the man, a God that needs nothing, is all powerful, all knowing, why would you create a system that makes us have to ask you for stuff? Because He simply wants to talk to us. You got to get it inside of you that God longs for nearness with you. That'll shatter some of your addiction problems right there. That God in heaven, every single day, is longing to get inside of your room and say, let's talk. And this isn't just a message for young folk. I know plenty of older folks that need to get this reality. I need to get this reality. I've been doing this for 12, 13 years. I need to get this reality. Why? Because I'm good at doing stuff. I was an athlete. Discipline was not something that was hard for me to do. so I can get good at this. I can fool you easily. I can. So this can't be how good I do this, the litmus test of how close I am with Him. I'm just kind of going on a rabbit trail right now. That's not even what I'm talking about. But y'all hearing what I'm saying? You can talk about it. See, y'all hear you. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. So I got saved when I was 17. I won't go into all the events that led up to it, but it was July 4th, 2004. It was a Sunday night, about 9, 9:30-ish. I was laying on my bed. It was this weird black and white, I don't know, polka dot looking blanket on my bed. And this green sheet that was the drapes. My bed was underneath the window. My door was half cracked. My lights were off. I'm telling you, man, I was laying in bed. And I tell you how I grew up, and I began to just get hit with the reality of, God, I don't know you. I preached my first sermon at 15 years old. I got saved at 17. I'll tell you something. So I said, God, I can preach at 15, 16 years old with some of the best pastors I know in my city. But I don't know you. And it hit me. I was terrified to go to sleep because I knew if for whatever reason I couldn't wake up the next morning that my heart had no reality of knowing God. So I began to cry and say, God, I have to know you. And this man walked in my room. It wasn't my dad. His presence came in. Boom, man, something just hit me and I'm just shaking on my bed crying some more. Yours. And I got saved. So my salvation experience didn't happen at this altar, but praise God, I have a lot of friends that did happen at this altar. But I was born in an environment of fire, so smoke just won't do for me. Little games and patty cake Christianity just don't do it for me. I want to awaken you to the reality that God has put a seed of yearning inside of you that needs to be awakened. Ecclesiastes, I believe it's 3:11, said God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. Jesus himself defined eternity as this in John 17:3, that this is eternal life, that you know me and the Father who sent me. So actually encounter eternity now before you die. Y'all fall and say, I'm old school, man. If I see your eyes, I'm not going to call you out by name because I don't know your name. I might point you, though. I know, man, it's been a long day. Y'all have had an awesome couple days, I've heard. I'm just going to ask you, just right now, just do this little thing right now. Close your eyes. Say, awaken my soul. Say it. Take over, spirit man. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you got to lean in, if you got to go stand up against the wall, whatever you got to do, man, I am for it. I won't get mad. I promise you. Like, I do it because I get tired sometimes too. So if you find yourself with something inside of you that is That you go to the boyfriend or the girlfriend, or you go to the music, or you go to the social media, the party, or whatever you go to, whatever your vice may be, and you still find the yearning inside of you that has not been satisfied, C.S. Lewis says it's probably an indication that nothing of this world can satisfy you. And I'm here to tell you it can't satisfy you. I am married. I have kids. I've been popular. All right, who's the youngest in here? I'm going to be quiet. Stop right there. Amen for the parents. I got you. I've had a lot. If you want to go the bad side, I've done the thuggery thing. All right, I've been shot at a few times, shot at a few people sometimes. I've been through that life. You know what? And I found that it doesn't satisfy. But check this out. I have found that good things. My wife, godly. My kids, godly seed. Ministry, purpose of the Lord. these still don't satisfy the yearning of my heart. So it can be awesome good things. And I'm not telling you to despise good things. I'm just saying, do not allow good things be the pinnacle of your Christian life. Don't let not screwing up anymore be the pinnacle. See, I want you to get a vision for your life to where the pinnacle of Christianity is not just you not screwing up, it's I get to see Him. I have eyes that get to behold the glory of the Son of Man. Come on, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes says that the eye is never satisfied. I was addicted to porn for about 12, 13 years, and I mean heavy. Ruined my life. And the Lord hit me with this. He says, it's not that you weren't made for addiction. It's that it was directed to the wrong thing. You were made to be a junkie for God. You were made to long for His presence more than you long for a worship service. You were made to sit in your room when nobody was in there and have God dialogue with you as loud as I'm talking to you right now. Come on, this is your glory. Jeremiah 2 says that he's talking to Israel. He said, hey, you've traded your glory for what does not profit. How often have we traded the glory that we have? What is it? Proverbs, let's go there. Get your Bible. Who has your Bible? Oh, Jesus. Okay. You've got your phone. You can raise your hand. No, you ain't got your phone either? Well, praise God. I'm glad that. Oh, you in trouble. God's going to get you because you got your phone. I'm just playing. I got it written down in here somewhere. I have a tendency to preach out of my journal because I can only talk from where me and God have been. So that's where I get life. Proverbs 25:2. Where's Proverbs? After Psalms. And mom and dad, I so bless you. I just want to say I'm honored to be here. I am the cathedral. I'm honored to be here. Like, I'm playful. I'm intense. But I take this as very serious before the Lord. I tremble inside every time I speak because I recognize that I'm talking for the Lord. And I need a weightiness on my heart. To know the severity and the weightiness of what I'm doing. So I do take this as honor. Bishop Chuck, I love you. Come on. This is a place that God looks down upon and smiles. Don't take it for granted. This work means something to God in the earth. You have the honor and the privilege of being raised, if not in here, at least in the same city as here. So I just want you to hear that. As a dad, hear that. Cool? I'm telling you, you gotta talk to me. I will make everybody stand up and listen for the rest of the... I'm telling you, I'm old school. They made us stand up for about 20 minutes. Proverbs 22:5. It is the glory of... 25:2, sorry. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. He calls us kings and priests to our God. It is our glory to seek after Him. It's your glory. It's the essence of who you are. It's the very thing that you've been made up with. It's your very makeup. It's your internal reality. It is your glory to be able to run after God and not just run after Him, lay hold of Him. You get the invitation, day after day. His mercies are new when? Every day. Meaning every day God releases the invitation. I know they ignored me yesterday, but I'm just so jealous for them. I'm going to send it to them again. I know they did that crazy stuff and, Holy Spirit, go convict them. Why? Because I need their heart clean because I got such nearness that I have available to them. Come on, I want to shatter your paradigms of Christianity that's wrong. All right. It's not about Sunday morning service. Praise God. I've got encountered time. I got encountered over there. It's beautiful. But this is not the pinnacle. It's not the very top of the mountain. God longs for you to walk in a reality of you had direct connect to Him. But the depth of your desire and the depth of your hunger actually determines how far you go in Him. How easy are you satisfied? How deep is your hunger? How deep is your hunger for God satisfied just 5 minutes with this? Or is there something in you that says, I sigh and yell a lot. He was in my house the past couple days, and I'm just walking, we're eating. I just, just keep going about my business. That's my wife. Hey, wife. Hey, mom. Do I not do that? Why? It's because there's something of a groan in me that words can't don't do justice anymore. How many of you feel it? How many of you in the past couple of days felt something kind of beginning to climb up in you? Like, man, like, what is it? This is weird. I feel strange. My flesh is super uncomfortable now. I feel something inside of me saying yes, but my body's like, I'm not used to doing this. I like y'all. I'm going to just read a couple things. Is that all right with you? Y'all good at listening? Talk to your parents. Joke. All right. God is going to endorse a people who separate themselves unto Himself. We must be set apart unto Him, His value system. The calling of God and the molding of a voice can only be forged in the place of consecration and encounter with the man Jesus. Anyone can deliver a message, but only a consecrated life can be a voice. You have to understand that the depth of your choices really determines the depth of your experience with God. What God is doing right now, He's coming to deal with your appetites. He wants to awaken a hunger for that only He can satisfy. You have to begin to understand, and you're young, and maybe some of you know, some of you don't, but it's okay. But you're gonna come to a place of realizing and having the awareness that the reason things frustrate you, or the reason things don't kind of take internally, is because God put His finger on you, and He says that you're not allowed to. Even the good stuff, He's telling you that others can, but you can't. You've been called for a higher purpose. And the highest calling is knowing Him. See, I believe you're revivalists. I believe you're revolutionaries. I believe you're going to be a people that comes and brings change to your generation. I believe with all of my heart. But it has to start with you realizing that it's knowing Him is the foundation. I'm saying you got to know Jesus. See, I'm not super eloquent, man. I didn't go to Bible school, you know. I didn't have no public speech classes. I came out of fire, rah, and shot out of a cannon. Because all I got in me is this thing that I gotta have them. See, I try to live my life in a way for my guys and my girls back home that takes away every excuse that says you can't attain knowing Him. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care what anybody said. I don't care what physical limitation. My reading comprehension level is super low. So you know who has to read something like 3 or 4 times before you get it? I gotta read it like 10, 12 times. Like that's for real. And I read so much, it freaks me out, like how much I read now. But even those books, it takes me a long time. Why am I willing to say yes to it? Because I'm willing to bear anything for the sake of knowing Him. Go to Psalm 69 in your beautiful hand. Because nobody has a Bible. Psalm 69, verse 7, it says, because for your sake, God, I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I've become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. People who talk bad about you, God, they're talking bad about me now. That's my son. Verse 10, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach.
I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit at the gate speak against me, and I'm the song of the drunkards. In Psalm 132, I believe it's Solomon that wrote that. He says, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. These were some of his afflictions. You know where these afflictions came from? He said yes to the pursuit of God. See, I'm not one of them dudes that tells you everything's going to be awesome and perfect and no problems will ever happen to you. Because I didn't see that in the Bible. I'm here to say that, you know what? Your yes to God may cause some affliction. It may cause you to lose the friend that's sitting on your right or to your left. It may cause your family members to ridicule you and say, I don't want anything to do with you. It says right here, I became an alien to my mother's children. My very family members are ridiculing me now. I used to be popular. Let me just go ahead and shoot that one in the head. This life ain't no popularity contest. I'm saying you can't take all them folks to Jesus. And the crazy thing I don't get, half folks, you don't like them no way. And they don't like you. They just want to be popular. You're popular. Hey, let's be popular together, even though I talk about you behind your back all the time. Facebook is so weird to me. You can lie on there, create who you want to be. People still just show their whole life, and they be talking bad about folks left and right. I'm just saying social media is the breeding ground for stupidity. I'm on there too, so I might be one of them. Cleanse me, Lord. Y'all tracking with me? My son says amen to me. I'm raising that boy right. Y'all gonna learn. So good. There's a blessedness in following God in the first commandment heart posture. The first commandment is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. It doesn't leave that much room for shared passion. You have to understand the jealousy of God. I'm jealous for my wife. I see anybody looking a second too long. She don't like me carrying guns, so I carry a knife. All my married men, can I get an amen? I'm jealous for my wife. I'm not just jealous of that. I'm jealous for whatever goes after her heart. Might be TV, Netflix. It's my job to woo her and make sure she knows I'm yours and you're mine. And ain't nobody else that can fit in between them. The beauty of marriage is that it's a picture of Christ and his church. And it's showing us, Jesus is getting in our face saying, it's okay, you're a bride too. Girls, you're sons as well. So, you know, if I can be a bride, you can be a son. God gets in your face and says, can't nobody have you but me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you too. Can't nobody have you but him. See, Paul said that I am jealous with you with a godly jealousy, meaning this, I've been infused by heaven with a jealousy that says, hey, you've been betrothed or engaged to one man. And so the evil one seeks to come with his deceitful ways to manipulate you and get your eyes off him. So there's chaos in the world right now. There's chaos. There's the racial stuff, political stuff, your friends, all right? Not to mention of the onslaught of the culture that's just sinfully, demonically fueled. All these things. And you know what the whole point of it is? To get your gaze off the man you've been engaged to. And so me, I'm a John the Baptist friend of the bridegroom. Meaning this, I'm the best man.
So I'm standing. I don't know which way I'm supposed to be standing. Jesus is supposed to be right here. Chase, come over here, you big, beautiful man. Look good. Sorry. Be Jesus and feel anointed. So I'm the best man. So I've had the giggles for like 2 weeks, and I can't be serious anymore. So if that's Jesus, and I'm the best man, and the bride is walking down, and she's looking at me, there's a problem. How would you feel? My job is to say, no, he's the one you marry. See, my job is, free appreciate it, Chase. My job is to say to you, hey, there's a man called Jesus, and he is who you've been betrothed to. See, don't be deceived so easily by nice sounding words, a good podcast, and nice sounding music. It ain't the preacher man, it ain't the rock star worship, favorite, whatever. There is a man you've been engaged to. And it's my job, it's your parents' job, it's the leader's job, it's your friend's job. If you're saved and your friends are saved, it's your job to provoke one another to say, hey, no longer look at the things of this world. Stir up hunger inside of you and look at the man of beauty. Come on. He's so jealous for you. He's systematically removing your plan and plan B's and plan C's and all your plans to say, you know what? I'm going to pull the rug out from under you. There's only one thing that will satisfy. And God wants to awaken a yearning inside of you. He says, God, I'm not satisfied. Satisfy me. Come on, man. This may be seem super oversimplified, but it'll set you free. I'm telling you, addiction to your phone, your devices, addiction to social media, addiction to porn, addiction to music, disobedient to parents, lovers of self, whatever Paul wrote Timothy. All those things, I promise you. A.W. Tozer, if you don't know who he is, look him up and read his books. It'll rock your world. He says 1,000 lesser problems in your life will be solved if you begin to deal with the first and most important problem. Do you know him? Come on, it's about knowing him. It's about knowing him. David said, awaken my glory. He comes after a couple chapters, which is down further in Psalms, but he's having a nervous breakdown. He's having an issue. He's freaking out. And at the end of it all, he says, you know what? Awaken my glory. Awaken Luton harp. Awaken my song. You know what? I'm going to be so audacious. I'm going to awaken the dawn. Before the dawn, my voice will ring to the heavens, declaring my yearning for God. I want to make balance a dirty word for you. Oh, you know, I got to have fun and be young. You can't coast in this generation. You might have been able to in your parents' generation a little bit, but now there is an onslaught coming towards you, wave after wave after wave of delusion. And the way Matthew 24, they're saying, Jesus, you know, when is the sign of your return? You know his first thing is, take heed, nobody deceives you. But no, what are your signs of your coming? Don't get deceived. No, but what's going to happen in the heavens? I'm telling you the sign. A rampant deception is going to hit the earth. And you can't say I was 14, 15, 16 as an excuse to try to escape what's going to come. Y'all feel me? To those closest to him, family members, they didn't understand why David had to make such radical choices to reorient his life and prioritize the presence of God. I'm going to tell you now, the carnal of this world aren't going to get it. If you're waiting to say, you know, but I want my friends to get, look, cry out for your friends. Yearn for them to come with you. But the old theologians will say, though none go with me, still I'll follow. I might be by myself, but you need to set the course of your life to say, I'm going after Him. When I got saved, friends, literally, the guys I got shot at with, I fought with, we did all kind of manner of foolishness with, guys that were my dude, like, we about died together type homies. And when I got saved, they said, man, you and your Jesus. And lost them all. So I know what it is to walk alone with Jesus. The beauty of it doesn't have to be that way. You can all do it together. And the beauty of it is, somebody in this row is waiting for somebody else in this row to take the first step so I can do it with them. Why don't you just be the first? It's so funny. I used to be a youth leader back in Montgomery. And they, man, I'm unique. Self. I keeps it 100. I'm just different. They all wore the same clothes. All listened to the same music. Dated the same people. But everybody unique. See, God wants to introduce you to a divine peculiarity. See, I'm trying to show you what your action, what your action is supposed to look like. I told a young man we were at Red Robin one day up in wherever we were, and this dude came up, and, were you with me, Kay? What's that? You're busy, sorry. So, this dude walks up to us, and man, God just came over me. I was like, he said, hey, man. I said, hey, man, do you know Jesus? I was like, what? You know, I just came to take your order, man. Say, you came to the wrong table. I said, you need to know Jesus. God is after you. He said, what do you mean after me? He's jealous. He's running after you. Like, your life's falling apart right now, ain't he? Said, man, how'd you know that? Because God told me, because He wants you to know He's after you. And he's like, I ain't never seen anybody this direct about Jesus before. I said, well, I can't help it. God's all over me right now. He's like, man. So I said, go take your order. I know you got a job doing, get you in trouble. I said, you'll be back, though. So he left, came back. I said, so say, man, you want to know Jesus? He's like, man, I don't know why I'm just bothered by you right now. And I told him that. He said that. And it was all love. I said, it's because you're looking at what you're supposed to be. You heard the voice of God boom right there. I am perfect by no means. Talk to my wife. I'm not perfect. Many flaws. There's one thing that God has infused within my DNA is that I'm hungry for God. And if I'm making you somewhat uncomfortable, it's called Holy Spirit. When you're in worship and you find that moment to where it's like, you hit that wall, but you know I'm supposed to be going deeper. It's called invitation. I just want to be honest with you, man. There's a blessedness in saying yes to the pursuit of Jesus, but it comes with affliction. I've heard the past day and a half, it's just been amazing. Heard some folks got saved. Who got saved? Come on, brother. Your friend did? Well, I don't care. You be saved too, my man. Come on. Well, whoever your friend is, they're not here. Don't feel if you don't want you to feel weird and shamed and nothing. Don't be shamed. You got saved, man. Come on. Two people got saved. That doesn't excite you as a Christian. Two people got saved. That is amazing. Y'all be glad, man. I spit a lot. A Holy Ghost juice. Sorry, just got a lot going on. But it's not enough to enjoy the past couple days. It's not enough. You have to answer the invitation in these days. Y'all hear me? I need you to lock in for the next 5 to 10 minutes. I'm coming in for a landing. Who give me 5 more minutes? Raise your hand. Ha-ha, I tricked all y'all 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. It's an old preacher joke my dad used to do. I just like doing it. I'm not going to take another hour and a half. Mike, see that man right there? That's my man. He don't like this right now, but I don't care. That's my guy. It's one of my sons. That's right. I claim you. He had to say yes to Jesus. And it was a hard climb at times, right? Sin nipping at his heels. Struggles in life. Trying to grab him and pull him back. I remember a time we had just talk on the phone. And it all was just keep pressing forward. Who's ever done mountain climbing before? Anybody? All right, I haven't. But I have friends that do, and they told me the story. There's this thing called a snake line, right? And the snake line is this line to where altitude is just so different above that line that snakes just can't get above that. Am I correct? There's this beautiful thing about climbing the mountain of God. As you climb that mountain, man, these things are nipping at you. Struggles, friends, exes, all this stuff. They're just kind of trying to grab at you. You're like, fight them off. And you just, God. And you just, and you get frustrated. And this thought comes through your mind, it's just not worth it. And that right there is the lie of the enemy speaking to you right now. That this climb to the pinnacle of the Mount God is just not worth it because it's too hard, comes with too much stuff. And I'm telling you right now, don't give in to the lie. Because some of you are on the front end of saying yes. And if you can fight through the lies and get on the other side and rehearse truth in your heart, that he who comes to God must first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Tell you, my God does not lie. He can't. So when he says he rewards those who keep seeking, it's to me, I'll draw nigh to you. My God says, keep climbing. I promise you, I'm going to touch you. He's already done it. He's shown himself faithful in your life already. I guarantee you. Just ask. Keep climbing that mountain. Keep climbing that mountain. Jared, this stuff is nipping at me. They won't. My friends, they keep trying to pull me back. You know what? Keep going. Make the hard decisions in life. See, I know y'all want Michael to come down and slap you and make you perfect. It ain't going to happen. Jesus died once. He ain't coming back to do it again. He gave full power in his blood. He gave you the beautiful gift of his spirit to empower you to do the truth demands of your life. Don't say you don't have nothing. Don't say you can't do it anymore. The most powerful, omnipotent, beautiful God has released his authority within you. And I'm telling you, you have the power of a billion suns living on the inside of you right now. Don't say you ain't got no power. You just got to make sure you keep cultivating. Keep getting oil. Keep climbing. Say, man, I'm getting weak, bro. And you say, you know what? I'll run with you. And he said, all right, man. So you begin to tag team this mountain together. And then you both get tired. And you have another one that says, you know what, bro? I'll run with you. Man, I don't know how to climb. How? Come on, man. I feel God right now. I don't know how to read my Bible. Hey, bro, let's get together at my house after school. Let's read together. Come on, you got to fight for each other. I just got done screaming at them last night at my house. Our little community back home, I said, guys, you got to fight for each other. You will not make it on your own. You won't. Anybody here at any point in your Christian life tried to do it on your own and found the difficulty of it? My hands up. Why? Because I naturally am a lone ranger. Like, kind of my natural, how I can be is I like to be by myself. Throw me on a pond with no fish, I'll go fishing because nobody's bothering me. That's how I am. But the Lord is saying, no, Jared, you are tied to these people. So run together. But I'm telling you, you have the Spirit of God in you. The grace of God is not just His unmerited favor. It is the power of Almighty God in you. It's not just a better you to make you a better person. It's you gone. For I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer you or I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. God lives in you. Right here. Come on, man. You got to get that reality. I feel God like on the back of my neck right now. I just feel weird. Do you hear me? Like, I'm like this. I'm trying to keep it light because I generally get to a place where I'm super intense and it's like, it gets serious. like the spirit, they said the spirit of seriousness comes in when I speak. Oof, no smiling. Like, so I'm trying to be somewhat light. But y'all got to hear my heart, man. Are y'all hearing? Like, you got to, I feel the intensity of God's jealousy for you. That's what I feel right now. I feel it. I feel it. And I don't feel much. Like, I'm not much of a feeler. I'm more of a God that I just sense things and God talks to me. I don't feel much. Son. When I feel it, I know it's Him. Climb that mountain. Because if you keep climbing, you start to get to that. You start to get to that place with Jesus. Man, I don't even want to do that stuff no more. It don't even appeal to me. Man, that don't even sound fun no more. I've seen beauty in Jesus. I don't want to look at that. Whew, come on, man. I've tasted something of a love that is divine and perfect and no ulterior motives. Man, I don't need to date nobody. I don't need to be with that dude or girl. Why? Because my heart has been ravished by this. I don't need to be validated by people. And I'm not talking about this arrogance that says, screw the world type thing. I don't mean that. I'm saying I'm so messed up over what He has said about me, you can't say nothing to me. It's too late. It's too late. See, I'm not even important, man. Y'all hear me? All right, man, I need to come for a landing. How long have I been speaking for? What I got, Luke? Give me a number. Just give me a number. Throw me a number. Okay. I want to be respectful. Okay. Jesus. I'm going to pray for a second. Asking right now, Lord, for the removal of the lies. God, we break. Come on, you need to break your agreement. God, we break our agreement. Come on, you need to open your mouth and say it. I break my agreement with the lie that I can't do it. With the lie that says there's no point because I've already screwed up. God, we say, I'm asking for the truth that God is not negotiating His love for you based upon what you do or don't do. To begin to infuse upon our heart and remove darkness, God. I'm asking, the entrance of your word brings light. Release light upon every heart right now, I ask, Jesus. Come, Lord. If you agree, say yes. I want to be sensitive to the Lord. I don't want to just talk for the sake of talking. Okay. One last verse. Go to Matthew 10. Not Matthew 10. Mark 10. Just look at me. Mark 10, 46. Now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man. So fickle. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you. I'm going to talk about that in a second. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now there's so much to pull from here. Bartimaeus is blind. He's on the ground begging. And when he heard of Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. People around him said, shut up, stop, be quiet. He cried all the more. Jesus has been walking through this house the past day and a half or so. I mean, he's been here, but for you that have been here the past few days, he's been walking. And you've heard of the fame of this man. You've heard songs of the fame of this man. You sung songs of the fame of this man. And I know for a fact, you can't fool me, that something inside of you began to rise. Whether you suffocated it or responded, it came up. Why? Because it's wired in your DNA to want him. So whether you said yes or no is not my issue right now. My issue is you and I both know it came up. And you saw the ones that raised your hand. And you saw the ones that got on your face. And I was yelling and people were singing. And you know what? Something in you says, man, I want to do that. But I don't know. I might get looked at. And when somebody looks at you and says something crazy, you know what you need to do? You need to scream all the louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. Why? Because we are poor, blind, and wretched without the man. Jesus said in his inaugural address of the kingdom, happy are you when you are poor in spirit, meaning happier when you're a beggar on the street. Why? Because you have to offer. All you can do is receive. Happy are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You ever been hungry before? You heard me a second ago. You start growling inside. Who gets irritable after church? Because it's time to eat, right? Gee, I rebuke that southern demon in Jesus' name. He's banging on my door every Sunday. I kick him out. Kick him out. I'm hungry. Kick him out. No, I don't like you. Happy are you when you have nothing and you are bankrupt on the inside. That should be your most happiest point. Why? Because God is just waiting, just calling me. Just say, just come on. Just call my name. I'm mighty to say, just call my name. Jesus, open my eyes that I might see the beauty that is in your face. And he's waiting and longing and he's going to rush in. I'm telling you, so the psalmist said that God has to humble himself to behold the universe. He has to humble himself just to behold the universe. And he said, you know what? I got to get a little bit lower to get into that Milky Way. You know what? I got to get a little bit lower into that little looking planet called Earth. You know what? I got to get a little bit lower and get to America. I got to get a little bit low, down on my knees so I get to that little thing called Alabama. I got to get super in my knees to get to that place called Selma. You know what? I'm going to go to Christ the King. He got on his knees to get all into your face tonight to say, you can't get away from me. I love you. I'm coming after you. And you're feeling it on the inside right now. I'm telling you, in Jesus' name, you're going to say yes to God for the entirety of your life. I'm telling you, your DNA cries out, God, how I want an exchange with you. Come on, you got to begin to say, God is here, God is near. And you need to shout to the top of your lungs. And when people tell you to be quiet, say, I'm going to throw off restraint. I will not be stopped to pursue after this Jesus. Nothing will hold me back. I'm going to lay hold of the man. I don't care what the school says. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what my flesh is crying out. I'm going to wake 2 hours early in the morning and read my Bible until I'm hungry for His Word. Oh, I don't feel it. I'm going to say no to my feelings and say, Jesus, you're worthy. I'm going to leave anyway. God, He didn't call my name and they didn't put hands on me, but God, your Spirit is in me. You've anointed me. I have power on my life. I'm telling you, man, in Jesus' name, God is coming after you. And it doesn't end today. And it doesn't end tomorrow. God said in these few days, I'm releasing the invitation of heaven. Respond to me. And I promise you, I'll give you sight. I promise you, I'll open your eyes to see things that are unlawful to speak of in the earth. I promise you, I'll visit you in your room, give you dreams and visions that will ruin you for anything normal.
I'm telling you, this world has nothing for you. It's God, and it's God alone that your insides are crying out for. God, fill my entire frame. That's the cry of my heart. And that's the cry of my heart for you. I ain't saying nothing to you that I myself don't spend 2 hours in the night crying out, weeping, God, I got to have you on my life. I got a wife, I got kids, I got people under me. I need God on me. And more important than all that, God, I am bankrupt if you don't come. You know the nature of hunger? It's uncomfortable. You ever been hungry? Be like, ooh, I feel good. Now you get hungry, you get a stank face. Get away from me. My wife, God bless the wives of every man of God. Whew. Success. Success to you. Y'all feel y'all help coming. It's uncomfortable. Who's hungry right now? Honestly, raise your hand. You little fidgety. You just Rick. Just man, just shut up. I'm gonna eat. You made your point. You yelled. Get out the way. I've said that plenty of times to my boss. Some of y'all know my boss, Paul Hughes. He's a real OG. The nature of hunger is uncomfortable. But you gotta learn how to embrace the discomfort so you can get filled. All right, I'm finished with it. I'm finished. Told you I wasn't gonna look at none of these. I got like 7 pages right here. I said, man, do I need to bring my laptop up there? Words aren't enough. There was this guy called the Rich Young Ruler. The leader of my life years ago said he was the poor young fool. See, here's Jesus, my paraphrase, and he runs to him. Jesus, what do I need to do to have eternal life or to obtain salvation? What do I need to do? He says, you know, keep all these things. I've done them since my youth. He said, well, you know, well, give everything you have to the poor and follow me. And it said as he walked away with his head down. It's a shame. I read that and I'm like, man, he started so well. Jesus was there and he ran to him. What do I need to do? I want to follow you. God releases that uncomfortable call, Luke 9:23. Anybody desires to follow after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross daily. But the beauty, when you deny yourself, you get him. You lay down your burdens and you begin to get his yoke. It's easy. It's light, but it begins to guide you, your life. I find myself in places, I'm saying, Christianity ain't boring. My buddy Corey Russell says that Christianity ain't boring. You are. Actually, he says the Bible's not boring. You are. And I agree with him. Anybody that says that being a Christian is boring apparently does not know God. Can I get an amen from my crew back there? Go ahead and stand up, folks. Oh, somebody sighed. Said, praise the Father. He's done. I believe you can smile in church. And this is coming from me, if you know me. Somebody last night at our meeting said, Jared smiles and or Jared laughs and just began to like giggle. It's like, dang, am I that serious? Y'all come on up here with me. Yeah, I'm going to make you uncomfortable. It's okay. It's for your well-being.
And if don't stand next to the person that you used to sitting down and standing with. So, you know, go ahead and fill out this whole bad boy, just this whole front row. Come on, spread out. And I'm serious. Like, the person that you be sitting with that keeps you locked down, like, get away from them. For real. Matter of fact. Yeah, y'all good. Luke, where you at, buddy? Could you come up with a guitar and some goodness? Y'all good, man? Y'all all right? Y'all all right? You can talk. Y'all okay? Come on, y'all be up till 4 in the morning playing God knows what. All right? I'm sorry. Hey, y'all don't fool me. See, I ain't your parents. All right? I've been in every last one of your shoes. You don't fool me. You don't. You girls neither. I love y'all. Y'all are so pretty. God loves y'all. I don't want y'all to go after God. And I don't know how y'all want to do this. I just want you guys. I got you out of there so you can kind of get outside of what your little box is. Because being right here makes some of y'all uncomfortable. Some of y'all ain't, it's not too bad. But it's okay. I want you to begin to close your eyes. And kind of as we begin to progress, and you need to kind of drift a little bit away. It's okay to drift a little bit. I just need you to be able to get into a place where you can go there with the Lord. That's all I care about. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And don't sing nothing quite yet. Because I want to teach you guys how, you have to learn how to lay hold of God without the lyrics. You got to learn how to lay hold of God without, and it's not bad, it's good. Like, I listen to it too. But there are moments I say, I get rid of this for a little while so I can learn how to talk to God by myself with my own words. And that's all I want to do for you right now. I want you to learn how to lay hold of the Lord. And I'm telling you this, I'm just giving you little secrets. This is my little daddy talk right now, all right? Your prayers don't have to sound, God, you know, creator of heaven and earth, you know, thank you for the mighty expanse and the great firmament and how you've bestowed upon us the glorious power of the, like, you don't have to sound like that. You've heard me preach. It's not eloquent. I'm goofy. All right. Your heart posture is what matters. So 5 words or however many is just saying, God, I just want you. That prayer and the right heart posture goes so much further than me yelling to the top of my lungs, sounding awesome, just so you can think I'm spiritual. So I want to set you free from the burden. You know what one of the biggest things I love about following Jesus? It removes the pressure to do what everybody else does, including Christians. So Jesus comes with freedom to say, you ain't got to do what everybody, you got to sound like everybody else, you got to do all this stuff. You know, and I did my fire-breathing preacher thing, and I ain't got to put hands on you. I want you to begin to talk to God. And we're going to maybe come pray for you as we move forward. But I want you to get to a place. Just go ahead and go there. Close your eyes. If you need to get on your knees, get on your knees. If you need to, and I'm telling you, I set you free. If you need to, do it. It's so beautiful. If you need on your knees, if you need to lay on your face, if you need to go stare at a wall, and this is for everybody else in the room as well. You know, I'm a parent. I'm a father. I need to learn how to make sure I do this for my kids' sake. Go to your place right now. Close your eyes. If you need to raise your hands, raise your hands. And just begin to say, God, I want to know you.